This is Sam Dharmasena, and you're listening to CGRU 1280 AM here in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative.
People don't believe that ableism kills people. People think it's about parking spaces and automatic doors, and it starts and stops there. And they forget about the ugly laws that relegated disabled people to not even be employed, and if employed, in back rooms only. And they forget about the ways in which healthcare inequities impact people with disabilities differently than those who don't have disabilities. They forget that the government is saying able-bodied people are worth $2,000 a month, and they might have savings, and they might own a house, and they might have more flexible housing options, but disabled people are worth $1,100 a month.
That's disability advocate Rachel Romu talking about the differences they're seeing between the Canada Emergency Response Benefit, CERB, and the Ontario Disability Support Program, ODSP, which they're on. For years, Rachel questioned the calculations for single individuals on ODSP, and when CERB was announced in spring 2020, it confirmed many of their suspicions. ODSP provides a maximum income support of $1,169 monthly for single people with disabilities. An individual can earn $200 per month, and after that, there's a 50% deduction on every dollar earned, according to the Ministry of Children, Community, and Social Services. In comparison, CERB recipients are given $2,000 monthly, and an individual can earn up to $1,000 and still be eligible. I wanted to know Rachel's reactions when they were able to compare those two programs.
Seeing what the government decided as a calculation is the cost of basic needs for Canadians, and people with disabilities may have beyond basic needs as a result of different spending when it comes to their health care that is not covered by OHIP, different spending on their housing situation based off of inaccessibility, based off of the fact that until a couple of years ago, people on disability were not allowed to have more than $4,000 in their bank account. So they were not property owners. They were not putting down anything on a mortgage. They were not having savings. It's been particularly frustrating having that inequity highlighted as now not a suspicion, but a concrete fact by the numbers.
On top of Rachel's advocacy work, they're also a model and musician. So I wanted to ask about their experiences navigating ODSP specifically as an artist prior to the COVID-19 pandemic.
I struggled in private a lot. I felt a lot of shame in especially the arts community, which in many ways has a lot of people from a different tax bracket than myself as the leaders, the movers and shakers, because in order to participate in arts, you often have to have options, and options usually come with financial security. So I decided to speak more candidly about it when a lot of folks who never really would have paid any mind to what people who are needing income support from the government are experiencing suddenly found themselves needing that same support. Because I see a lot of my entertainment industry's peers really struggling with $2,000 a month. And then I'm sitting over here quietly being like, I've been having half of that and in private and in shame and with a lot of blame from the government and from society, where disabled people are considered lazy if they are in a position where they cannot work.
While Toronto has been Rachel's home for a number of years now, they've been spending the last few months in their hometown of Thunder Bay. But now that Toronto has entered stage 3, Rachel's in the city for a 10-day modeling gig and tells me that deciding to return to work in the age of COVID involves a lot of risks, but it's the reality they're facing without stability from programs like ODSP.
So in looking at the rate of pay that I'm being offered sometimes, and then in looking at the rate of expense that it would take to actually make use of these opportunities that I worked for years to finally get, it's a really fine balance. And then when you factor in layers of how people with disabilities are high risk for a lot of things dangerously going wrong as far as COVID. I personally have two conditions that make COVID pretty effing scary. It's a cost-benefit analysis and risk-reward analysis that goes beyond our dollar and goes into like, is this worth like really jeopardizing my life possibly for?
For their current 10-day gig, Rachel tells me that finding short-term accommodation has been a huge hurdle. They couldn't cover travel costs and Toronto hotel rates, so they posted a social media call out in search of a friend that might have a spare bedroom. They were specifically looking for a bedroom rather than a couch because of their health conditions, and also were living in the age of COVID after all. Eventually, Rachel did find a home, but their house hunt speaks to a common pain point. The inadequate income support from ODSP is putting people with disabilities at greater risk. Even when Rachel was based in the city, they tell me that the economics of ODSP and Toronto Living were never in sync.
It can't be where, you know, people with disabilities are just constantly forced to make do with less. Because when making do with less is less than basic, like one of my friends on Twitter, after he pays his rent, he has $69 for his groceries, basic needs, and uncovered medication for the entire month. How is he supposed to live off of $69? He's not living in a nice apartment. He's not even living in a downtown connected place. So like, despite the fact that the mandate is a certain amount of money, it's like, it's killing people. So I want to see that the rate not just be set equal to CERB, that's a starting place, but where it literally is assessed based upon the cost of living for a single adult in a one-bedroom apartment so that people can have freaking dignity on a like case-by-case basis.
Rachel also mentions that in addition to a realistic income support, there should be more pathways to employment that involve accessible post-secondary education. That those are some of the ways that the government can better support people with disabilities and what Rachel specifically would like to see as the future of ODSP.
People with disabilities on income support cannot be expected to succeed or to live fulfilling lives if they are constantly on the verge of dying, they're constantly on the verge of homelessness, if they're constantly on the verge of an empty fridge, and if they cannot find their talents, skills, and hobbies and interests, nurture those things and work towards building a sustainable life for themselves. You cannot build a house of cards on top of earthquake ridden ground. Like, it has to be stable, and there is no stability from the start. So how can people with disabilities be expected to ever have autonomy, fortify their life, their choices, and their personhood without those things?
To learn more about realities of living on ODSP, Rachel suggests following hashtag ODSPoverty on Twitter and learning more about the work done by the Ontario Coalition Against Poverty, OCAP. My name is Sam Dharmasena, and you've been listening to CGRU 1280 AM in Toronto. This story is part of the Local Journalism Initiative, a project by the Community Radio Fund of Canada.